If you turn on your TV, you turn on your computer, you look at your phone, you read something, these are three words you're going to see over and over today. Diversity, equity, inclusion. There is this push. Basically, a lot of these things are intended to destroy the family. The family, which is the foundation of our country. You have to have a diverse group. You have to include everybody. You can't exclude anybody. You have to have this equality with everybody. This is a mindset behind so many things in the world today. And I want to take that, but look at the Bible and look what does the Bible say about so many things. And what we're going to look at this evening, instead of a diversity, instead of including everything, we're going to look at some ones that the Bible talk about, some ones. And like people today will say, if a man is entitled to this, a woman is entitled to it also. If a woman is entitled to this, a man is. That's true if and only if the Bible says it is. But when we look at the Bible, there's only one. Now, this is a very simple lesson, very basic, but some people don't understand what one means. One is more than zero, it's less than two. It's pretty foundational, pretty basic. Until we start getting in to look at some of the things that the Bible says there's only one. The Bible says there's only one way. In Jeremiah 32, verse 39, then I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. God is not going to give us a number of ways to confuse us. He's going to give us one heart, and that heart is to follow after Him, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength, and power. Give us one heart and one way to fear God. In Isaiah 35 and verse 8, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. How many highways are there? There's one. People will say there's lots of ways to get to heaven. We're going to see the Bible doesn't tell us that. A highway will be there, a highway of holiness. There's just one way. There's just one way. John 14, 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That sounds exclusive. And it is, because when Jesus said, I am the way, that excludes any other way that you can think of. Any other way, any other religion, any other philosophy. There's just one way, the truth and the life. And if we want to go to the Father, if we want to go to heaven, we have to go through Christ to get there. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So we see there's only one way. And actually, when you look at this, there's only one way to God. There are two ways that we can travel. One way to eternal life, that narrow way. The broad way is going to lead us to eternal destruction. And when you go through chapter 7, I find it interesting. He lists a number of comparison and contrast. Two builders, two trees, two fruits, two ways, two gates. And there's no third option. It's either going to be life or it's going to be death. It's either going to be the narrow way or the broad way. We can't have more than one way. So there's only one way. And the world doesn't like to hear that. But that's what God says. and I'm going to take God's word over anybody else's word any day of the week. Well, we also see that the Bible teaches us there's only one path. Job 28:7, that path no bird knows, nor has the falcon's eye seen it. You know, we have a lot of hawks where we live, and you can just see them circling around up there, and they're looking for something to go down and get. The birds know what's out there, where to go, what to head, where to head. But this path, the path that no bird knows, it's a path that God has set for us, a path for us to follow in life. And when we try to follow some other path, it's going to get us into trouble. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What is this path? You know, people, if a young person is in school and counselors will talk to them about, so what path, what career path do you want to get into? What path do you want to take for a life to make a lot of money and have it easy? What path do you want to go to a good school? What path do you want to go? Friends, the path of life is the most important path there is. Doesn't matter what we do for a living, where we go to school, how much money we have. If we have those things and we miss the path of life, we've missed what life is all about. But again, there are people, there are evil forces that are trying to distract us from God's word and tell us that there are many paths. Now, when it comes to a job, that's true. We can follow many career paths. We can follow many educational paths. But when it comes to our life, there's only one path. There's only one path. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. I think this is a beautiful way of describing this. We live in a world of darkness, and God's light shines for us to light the path. If you've ever been out camping at night, or like I do sometimes, to go out at night to check on what we have outside and take a flashlight along, because you need a light to see where you're going, to see where that path is, so you don't get off that path and you don't get into trouble. The path of the just is like this shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. So many people are wandering through this life trying to find the path, and we have it right in front of us. This is our light that guides us, but we have to use this light. Well, Jesus says there's only one door. I am John 10:9. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So what's this talking about, a door? We understand what a door is. It's how we gain entrance into a place. When we came into this building this evening, how did we enter? We entered by a door. Well, how can we enter into Christ? How can we enter into the church? How can we enter into heaven? Are there many ways? No. Are there many paths? No. Are there many doors? No. There's one. One. And again, the world doesn't like to hear that. And Jesus himself is the door. He is the door. And we've seen this illustration before of the church. It's made up of Christians, living stones, the truth. The apostles and prophets are the foundation. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. That's the foundation. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And Jesus is the door to get in to the church. This shows steps leading up to the entrance, just like I think all of us here came up that ramp to enter into this door. Nobody can get into the church by accident. They have to enter the one door. They have to follow the steps, just like we had to follow the path to get into this building. It's pretty simple, but the world wants to confuse you. You've got to include this way. You've got to include that way. We've got to make it fair. If you can come in this way, they can come in another way. Is that what God says? No. No, friends. There's just one door. This is a beautiful illustration and one that I like even more is where Jesus is the good shepherd, and this is a sheepfold. And a lot of times, this was a common practice. This is a pretty substantial sheepfold. They would either take it from rocks that were in the field or take logs and limbs and make a structure. And then where that opening is, the sheep would go in through that opening, and then the shepherd, that's where he would sleep. And he was the door. And that was protection. The sheep went in through there, and the shepherd became the door. John 10:16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. What are those other sheep that Jesus was talking about? The Gentiles. The Gentiles. How did they get into the fold? It was through the one door. I must bring them, they will hear my voice. Now, if they heard their voice, heard the shepherd's voice, and didn't obey it, would they be part of the fold? No. People today, they say they hear the voice of God. God spoke to me in a still small voice. Did he tell you something different than what he had recorded by the Holy Spirit? If you heard his voice, did you obey it? He's told us what to do right here. It's been revealed. We don't need to go looking for another door. There's only one door. Well, that's not all that there's just one of. There's one gospel. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Singular. Gospel. Gospel of Christ. For it is singular, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. In Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. Why didn't he say preach the gospels? Because there aren't a multiple number of gospels. There's only one. To every creature, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. There's only one gospel. Notice that there's only one body. In Ephesians 4:4, it plainly says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. Okay? So then, when it says there's one body, we need to understand what is that body. We'll look at several verses on this. 1 Corinthians 12:20, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. So again, we understand with this illustration of a physical body, we have many members. We have fingers, we have arms, we have legs, we have toes, we have ears. These are members that all make up this body. And we're still looking for what is this body that he's referring to, because there's only one of them. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful, Colossians 3:15. So we see with this one body, this is something that we were called into. We are called into the one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit, notice that word one again, one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. I want to point out a couple things on this slide about the one body. What's that top arrow pointing to? It's pointing to a head. A head. What does that head do to the body? The head directs the body. You have one head, you have one body. If you had one head and two bodies, what would you have? It would be something that's abnormal. We'd call it a monster or something. One head and two bodies. That's not normal. It's one head, lower arrow, one body. What does the body do? It submits to the head. The body carries out what the head tells it to do. If I want to take a drink of water, my head is going to tell my hand, reach over and pick up that bottle and do this. Now, if my head said, I want a drink of water, and my hand reached over and threw it against the wall, we'd say there's a problem there. Because the body is not obeying the head. How does that fit in with religion today? There are bodies, churches, that do not obey the head. Is that the pattern? Well, again, some people would say, well, you have to include them also. You can't exclude them. You have to have equity. Everything's got to be the same. They can do it their way. You can do it your way. No, the Bible says there's one body. There's one body and there's one head. So when we look at this one body, and look at some other verses, there's one body. That body is the church. Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:23, Ephesians 5:23, 1 Corinthians 12. So one body. The body is the church. And salvation is where it is found in the body. We are not going to find salvation outside of the body. We are not going to find salvation outside of the church. So when people say, I can believe in Jesus and I can be saved, I don't need the church, you can't say that. That's impossible. That is impossible. Salvation is in the body. We need to be in the body to be saved. If we go out of the body, we're going to be lost. And how do we enter the body? We're baptized into the body. Acts 2:47, 1 Corinthians 12:3, Romans 6:3 and 4. We're baptized into the body because that is the church. The body is the church. Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Notice, church, that's singular. Singular. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It is singular. If it was plural, it would be them. I will build my churches and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against them. He didn't say that. He said, I'll build my church. That's one. It's singular. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The church. In Ephesians 5, remember that the church is compared to the bride of Christ. And when Christ comes back, when he returns again, he's coming back for his wife, the church, and he's going to deliver his wife, the bride, up to heaven. He's going to deliver the church up to heaven. He's coming back for his wife. He's not coming back for somebody else's. We understand that. It makes sense. Now, when I go home tonight, I got to watch how I say this. When I go home tonight, if I took somebody else's wife to take her home with me, that wouldn't work out. When Christ comes back, he's not going to make a mistake. He knows his bride. He knows his church. He purchased his church with his blood. He's going to take his bride and deliver her up to heaven. So this one church, well, what church is that? We say we were baptized into the church, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So what church does the Lord add these people to? In Acts 2:47, which church did he add them to? Was it the Catholic Church, the Lutheran, Presbyterian, the Baptist, Methodist, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness? Which church did he add them to? See, all of these churches below that blue line, all of those churches are too late to be the Lord's church. The church was founded on the day of Pentecost, AD 33, when power came, the Holy Spirit came. The one church didn't come again as something else and something else. There's only one. There's only one. Only one. That is strange. That just skipped through everything. Try this again. Okay? There we go. So there's only one body, one head, one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So if somebody is baptized in XYZ denomination, does the Lord add them to the church? No, because they aren't baptized in the name of the Lord. They aren't baptized by his authority. Now, when someone is baptized, what church does the Lord add them to? Does he add them to the New Lebanon Church of Christ? No. He adds them to the universal church. There's a universal church, and then we read the example of where Paul went to join a local church. We're added to the universal church. We go and we join a local church. Now, some people will say anybody that's in a church that has the name of Church of Christ is saved. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I would want to see a scripture on that. Because when one is baptized, again, they are added into the universal church. But then when they go and join a church that is not following the pattern, they are not in fellowship. They are not in fellowship. There's only one church, and you can call those congregations anything you want, but there's only one body, one church. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Again, back to Ephesians 5, that church, that bride that is holy, without spot, without blemish. You see, when they depart from the pattern, they are spotted. They have blemishes on them. Well, there's one way, one path, one door, one gospel, one body, one church. And there's a lot of ones. We aren't going to look at all of them. But there's one baptism. Ephesians 4, 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's not many baptisms, there's just one. And again, that one baptism is how we get into the body, how we are added into the church. Now in Acts 16 and verse 15, and when she and her household, referring to Lydia, were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. People will use this passage and others to say, see, you can baptize a baby because it says her household was baptized. Does a household include children? Well, you have to consider these points also. If you're talking about infant baptism, can a baby believe? Because Mark 16, 16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So a candidate for baptism has to be old enough to believe. Can a baby repent? Does a baby have anything to repent of? A baby doesn't have sin, so a baby can't repent. Can a baby be taught to observe all things? No, it's a baby. Is a baby baptized by immersion? I've never seen a baby baptized, but all the illustrations, the photographs I've seen, is like where they take a few drops and put them on or sprinkle something like that. It's not immersion. Does a baby have sin? No. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sins, it shall die. The baby does not inherit the sin of the parent, so there's no need for baptism. That baby is pure and clean and innocent. Is infant baptism in the name of Jesus? No, it's not, because we just cannot read about that. So again, what if somebody is baptized in denomination XYZ or Church of Christ XYZ, and it's not according to the pattern? They need to look at that and see if they are following what the Bible says, and if they were baptized, what did the Lord add them to? How can they be taught wrong and be baptized right? How can they do that? But you see, the world talks about diversity. They would say, Bruce, you're just being too legalistic. You're being too narrow-minded. You just don't understand things. Let me tell you how it is. They say there has to be a diversity. We have to have equity in the religious world. We have to include everybody. We have to have this love and grace and fellowship and have everybody united. Friends, that's not what the Bible says. We looked at one way, one path, one door, one gospel, one body, one church, one baptism. Have you been baptized with that one baptism to be added to that one body, the one church, so that when Christ comes back, he can take us up to heaven? Friends, if you need to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.